Hello, and welcome to another podcast in our Resilience and Reinvention series. I'm Lynn Worsley, the Director of the Resilience Centre. A universal dynamic in the human condition is stress, and we've certainly experienced a great deal of that over the last few years during the pandemic. Stress can be a life-changing thing. It can be overwhelming or something we feel at a lower level. It can also be useful to us. In fact, we're made to feel and respond to stress. How do we best handle it and understand it? And are all stressful situations bad? Joe Alberts is a man of great wisdom and experience in this very arena. He's a senior clinical psychologist at the Resilience Centre. Joe is speaking with Lee Hatcher.
Joe, great to see you again, as always, in chat.
Good to be here, Lee.
Look forward to it. It's probably going to be helpful if we first come up with some kind of definition. What exactly is stress?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me go with the formal definitions. And we say that stress then is a state of worry or mental tension that's caused by a challenging situation.
Okay.
I think it's a lot easier for me to think in pictures. So if you can, let's think of a party balloon,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
Nicely inflated, not one of those gas ones.
Okay.
And a person is holding that balloon in their hand. And what they're doing is they are squeezing the balloon.
Yes.
And we can think of that squeeze as the difficult situation. And in your mind, as you look at that balloon, you can see the balloon is deforming. And so the balloon is experiencing stress. So stress is that impact of that external situation. Hey, it's a good analogy, because if you let go of the balloon, what happens?
Yes.
It bounces back.
Yeah, or if you squeeze it too tight.
If you squeeze it too tight. Yeah. And I think that's the other message about stress. You know, we need to remember that stress can kill, and it does.
Is stress always bad?
We actually do not think of stress in terms of good or bad.
Okay.
What we know is that stress has an impact on the human being. And wonderfully, stress is needed for us to be the best version of ourselves.
Explain that more to me.
Yeah. So a person who's in a job where they're not challenged at all, you know, the kind of job where they say, I can do this with one hand tied behind my back.
Yeah.
You're going to find that they're going to be unmotivated. They're going to enjoy going to work. They go to work and they find that they are challenged and they had to use their creative and problem-solving potential. That little bit of stress causes them to be much more productive. That takes us to a point where, unfortunately, as the stress increases, then the productivity starts declining.
Okay.
So stress, neither good nor bad, but we think of it as something that is necessary for great performance.
Are there things we can do to help us not get to that point where it gets too bad?
Yeah. So we want to be carefully practicing our self-care practices.
Okay.
And we get to know our body and our own response to stress. And through mindfulness, you know, we can't go into all of the detail. Your sleep is going to become deteriorated. Your motivation levels are going to start dipping. You're going to try and avoid that very situation. And that's the beginning signs that the stress is getting, we call that distress, right? As opposed to eustress.
Yeah. Does our perception of the world and, I suppose, even of our past experiences impact on how we feel stress?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
So let's start with the obvious place. My parents, or the parents of a child, then starts forming this idea of what is stressful or not. If parents would repeatedly say, oh, we have to go to this function again, it's going to be so horrible, we have to dress up, you know, the children over time will start to view being in those kind of situations as stressful.
Of course.
And the opposite is true.
Yeah.
If mom, let's say, or dad, constantly warns about all of the dangers out there and what could possibly happen to a person, you know, that could form what we think of as stressful. Then there's the very obvious trauma aspect of it.
Yes.
So we can be traumatized by just about anything. And most of us don't think twice of getting into a car if I've been in a really, really horrific car, or not even a horrific car accident, suddenly a car becomes a stressful environment.
Yeah.
So our past experiences definitely would impact that. And then lastly, social media. You know, the more we expose ourselves to social media. Right. Yeah. And what is described there as stressful, you know, it's going to become stressful for us as well.
Yes. And we've got to add to that the world in the midst of a pandemic and a great deal of upheaval and change and uncertainty. Talk to me about how stress, rather uniquely, I think, played out for many during that time, Jane.
Can you remember that we went from not being so very concerned about the state of health in Spain to suddenly hearing about people dying in the corridors of hospitals?
Yes.
Because there were not enough beds or doctors to look after them. So suddenly we were confronted by real life tragedy, which is called by this virus.
And the prospect of that impacting on us.
And then suddenly, it's not Spain, right? We hear about people around us. And I can still remember, as we all do, those media conferences every day. How many is going to die and how many is going to die tomorrow? And then I can still remember being impacted doing my beloved bushwalks. And guess what? My bushwalk just fell outside of my area and suddenly I was cornered in my own house.
I used to walk the dog every day to those morning 11 o'clock press conferences.
Dogs were positively impacted by COVID because apparently all of the exercise
they're so fit.
You know, yeah. They got so fit and they were not stressed at all. So we do know that change will increase stress.
Was it just change?
No, change does. Not only change, but change is famous for doing exactly that. You know, you go to a new job and even if it's your dream job, you're going to be stressed about that first day, isn't it? Mm. And when we get there and all of our dreams come true and it's a wonderful job, but even so, that process of changing from one job to the other, from one house to the other, that of itself would be at least temporarily stressful.
And we spoke about this with Lynn in the introduction to the series. I think to the surprise of many, these ramifications, these impacts continue to this day.
Yeah.
When we feel like it's all over, it's all like in the past.
Yes. I often ask my clients, as I do, tell me about COVID. And yes, the impact of COVID remains with us. And it's interesting that my experience is that people would say, we are waiting for the next one.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, it's unlikely that this virus was just one-off or out of the blue. So, and we know that when we anticipate something bad in the future, that will cause as much stress as that event actually occurring.
When the previous comparable one was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
This might be a bit of a weird question, but is all stress that we might feel really stress? Like, is it nerves? I'm nervous about something or another kind of feeling?
Mm. My best response in our short time to that question would be, I think we have to respect people for what they have gone through in their lives.
Yes.
And you know, for me going to a house, let's say, where there's one daddy long-leg spider, could be the most stressful experience I could do this week. And yet there's someone else that would allow one of those horrible hairy spiders walk all over them.
I know something new about you now.
Yeah, no, I am. I am a little bit wary of them, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
They just don't look like cuddly animals. So yes, I think we would regard something as stressful because a person would say, you know what, it stresses me out.
Mm.
Yep.
What happens, Joe, in the brain when we're stressed? Should we go there?
Yeah, let's go there because that's enormously interesting.
Okay.
So in our brain, we have two structures. They are called the amygdala. They are our friends because the amygdala scans our environment for danger.
Mm.
In fact, the amygdala scans the environment about 40 times every second.
Oh, my goodness.
Using your eyes and your ears and your nose, your smell, your hearing, everything. And the moment that the amygdala sees something, it will always reference check that against what I have in my memory bank.
How fascinating.
And the moment that there's something there, now you can, now that's the whole list, right? I've been traumatized, or my mom told me so-and-so is dangerous, or whatever. The moment the amygdala then feels I need to be protected, it will then create a series of reactions in the body, which is called a sympathetic nervous system response. That's also known as the fight or flight response. So the amygdala sends a message to the adrenal glands, dumps adrenaline into the bloodstream, and then suddenly, not necessarily in this order, but my breathing changes and my heart beats faster.
Yes.
Why? So that there can be more oxygen to these muscle groups that are now needed to run away. And there's a whole host of other changes. You know, people feel a bit crampy in their stomach and insulin is dumped. But essentially, we are turned into a faster, stronger, more responsive version of ourselves.
Now, that's interesting.
Jump higher, yeah. Shout louder.
Run faster,
you know. And that's a good thing because we can run away from the dog or the lion, you know, 100 years ago. And so we actually do respond the same way if we hear our terrible boss coming down the hallway. Inappropriate to run away or bash them or whatever. But what we do know is that what happens in the body, that there's a stress hormone called cortisol. That's very helpful because it helps us to survive. But if we don't run away or do something about this released energy, the cortisol stays in our body.
Mm.
And where cortisol is a wonderful hormone that helps us, it now becomes the presence of this high levels of cortisol has actually been shown to contribute to just about every illness you can think about, from the common cold to cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, so those stress hormones that we don't do anything about our body then becomes our enemy. Let me just add a little something.
Yeah.
And that is that together with the sympathetic nervous system, we have the parasympathetic nervous system.
Okay.
It's the undoing of the sympathetic nervous system. Now, this is our job. We want to make sure that our parasympathetic is more prominent than the sympathetic nervous system. Now, how do we do this? Now, you'll remember that the sympathetic nervous system says breathe fast.
Yes.
And shallow. So if we then purposefully can work on our breathing, for those of people who are in the know, abdominal or tummy breathing.
Yes.
If we can slow our breathing down purposefully, the amygdala gets that message. Remember scanning amygdala?
Mm.
It's okay, amygdala, I've got this. And the amygdala will relax and there will be less of a sympathetic nervous system response.
Wow.
It's been shown that the good old sigh.
When you just said before breathe, I breathed.
Yes.
Instinctively.
And the sigh actually instantly activates the parasympathetic nervous system. Now, there are a whole host of self-care practices. Where do we start? Sleep is super important.
Yes.
We need to make sure that we get that restful sleep. Buy one of those wonderful watches or apps and check your sleep. It's worth it. We need to watch our diet.
Yep.
Interestingly, from a stress perspective, high up on that list, fewer carbohydrates and lots of water.
Mm.
What about exercise? Remember, we need to get rid of those cortisol, those stress hormones floating around in the body. And if we go for that run or that bike ride or we go for that gym session, we are actually burning off the stress hormone cortisol, which is really, really helpful. Mindfulness meditation has been shown to actually work on our brain and relaxes us, engages the parasympathetic nervous system. All of that works against stress.
Give us the brief 101 on mindfulness. What do you mean by that?
With mindfulness, we say we focus on the now, not the there and the then. What is in the past, what is in the future becomes unimportant. It's just about me in this moment experiencing myself. Now I become aware of my heart rate so I can slow down my breathing. And so on. And then maybe one of the most important self-care practices, really, would be guarding your thoughts.
Mm.
This is the interesting thing. The amygdala reads your thoughts.
Oh, really? Wow.
So that 24/7 watchdog, if you say tomorrow is going to be horrible, or I'm going to struggle to do that presentation, you are forcing your watchdog into a sympathetic nervous system response. And I feel stressed.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I would say number one self-care would be guard your thoughts. Make sure that you have good thoughts, positive thoughts, healthy thoughts. And if you can't have good thoughts about the future, just don't think about the future. Right?
That's wise, Joe. I'll take that home and sigh more, actually. Can I just end this great conversation about a time in your own life when you came under some or some significant stress? How'd you deal with it? And how might you have dealt with it better, maybe on reflection?
Yeah, I did reflect on that. So I would have to say that there were many times in my life that I was stressed, as we all have been.
Yes, yeah.
And then I would say that there were many times when I actually didn't deal with it well at all. And then I have to say that I can sort of, you know, there were times that I was quite happy with or even proud of the way that I dealt with a stressful situation. And those times were characterized by something, one single thing. And that is when I prevented myself from being worried about the future.
Okay. There are great rewards in being able to do that, actually.
Yes. Now, if I may, would love to just say what Jesus said about this in Matthew 6.
By all means.
Jesus said, hey, I love you much more and I care much more for you than everything in nature. And yet the birds don't worry about tomorrow.
No, no.
And I look after them. And he specifically says, don't worry about the day of tomorrow. You know nothing about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. You need to make sure that you cope with what you have today. So that's my reflection on my stress. The moment I remember that, I deal with my stress much better.
And we'll sleep better.
And we'll sleep better, of course.
Joe Albert, it's always great to talk. Thank you so much for such wisdom and experience. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
You've been listening to a podcast in our Resilience and Reinvention series from the Resilience Centre. I'm Lynn Worsley. Catch our other podcast conversations in this series and many others at theresiliencecentre.com.au.